Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that we can come here and open up your word again. Lord, your word is precious because your word can change life. We pray that, Lord, your word will be spoken this morning with power, not by men, but from you and from your spirit. So, Lord, may you be merciful to us this morning and speak to our hearts. We pray in your precious name. Amen. I have been going through the parables with you for a while now, and I'm especially looking at the parables from the Gospel of Matthew. And this morning, we are going to look at the parable of... That's what I meant. The parable of the two sons in Matthew chapter 21. A parable is a story or object lessons that is using physical things to show truth of spiritual things. So the Lord Jesus has begun to speak in parables more often when the scribes and the Pharisees become more hostile towards him. They did not receive his message very well, and therefore the Lord began to speak to them in parables. And the disciples wondering why, because the Lord Jesus has been speaking in parables and explaining to them, but he is not explaining to all the parables to all the people. So the disciple asked the Lord Jesus in Matthew 13, verse 10 to 13, they say, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." So you can see that Jesus taught with parables for two purposes. One is to reveal truth to those who seek it, and one is to hide truth to those who do not seek the truth. So more those who seek the Lord, more shall be given to them. And those who do not seek the Lord, the truth will be blind to them. So today, when we look at the parables of the two sons, I want you to pay attention to what are the truths that the Lord Jesus wanting to show. As we shared before, the context of the parables is very important. So let us look at the context of this particular parable. The setting is that in chapter 21 of Matthew, the Lord Jesus has entered Jerusalem triumphantly on a donkey. So there was prophesied in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, that the Messiah will come into the city as a king sitting on a donkey. And the crowds was excited about that Messiah has come into the city, and they're crying, "Hosanna, the son of David." And they brought palms, and they put branches on the floor, so it's like almost like a green carpet, welcome to the Messiah. But little do they know that before the end of the week, they will be among the people who will be shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." Because this entry into Jerusalem will be the last one by the Lord Jesus. This will be the last week of his life on earth before he was crucified. So there's a setting. In Jerusalem, Jesus went into the temple courts, and he drove out all who were buying and selling there. He turned over the tables. He make a whip and chase them out. He was angry because the chief priests and the elders of the people allow all this trading taking place. This place supposed to be the house of prayer but they had made it into a den of thieves. These chief priests and the elders, they actually make some profit from allowing all this trading happening in the temple. So Jesus was angry, and he chased them out. And then the blind and the lame and those who are sick came to the Lord Jesus, and he healed them all. And people were excited to see the Messiah not only coming in, but he also has that power to heal the sick. But the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees and the elders of the people, they are not happy. They are jealous that the Messiah, that the Lord Jesus, who claimed to be the Messiah, was attracting so much attention from the people. So these leaders of the Jewish people, religious and political, they were very jealous. Then one morning, on the way into town, Jesus saw a fig tree by the wayside. And he wanted to go and take some fruits from it, but there was none. The fig tree had lots of leaves, but no fruit. And Jesus cursed that fig tree. And immediately that fig tree withered and died. You see, the fig tree has always been a type of the nation of Israel. Israel rejected the Messiah, just like the fig tree, had no fruits that can satisfy God. So outwardly they may have all the spiritual piety shown to the people, the religious leader, like the scribes and the Pharisees, but inwardly they have no love, no belief towards God, just like that fig tree. Had leaves outwardly, but no fruit to satisfy God. And before these parables were told, gathered around Jesus, and they were questioning his authority. When Jesus was teaching them, the chief priests and the Pharisees came, and they are questioning where his authority come from. We're going to go to that story now in Matthew chapter 21, verse 23 to 27, to see what happens. Matthew 21, verse 23. Now, when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders confronted him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" But Jesus answered and said to them, "I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men?" And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then do you not believe him?' But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet." So he answered Jesus and said, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." So here we can see that the Jews asked Jesus, where does his authority come from? The Lord did not answer their question, but ask them another question instead. And Jesus was pointing them to John the Baptist and asked them, where did John the Baptist's authority comes from? If you answer that, then I'll answer your question concerning where my authorities come from. So what the Lord Jesus was trying to do was to show them that the authority that John has, it's the same authority that he has. It is the authority that is from God, from heaven, and not from men. Did they, the chief priests and the Pharisees and the elders, did they really not where John's authority come from? No, they knew. Just that they do not want to admit it. They are the people who are supposed to teach because they know the truth. They're supposed to bring the truth to the people, yet they became an enemy of the truth. That's why they say, we do not know. They are lying. Instead, John's ministry was from heaven, and John was a forerunner of the Messiah. He was the man whose name was even prophesied in the Old Testament. He's supposed to be the Elijah who prepared the way of the Lord. Remember when John saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world." And he also said of the Messiah, "He must increase, and I must decrease." John knew what Jesus was coming to earth for. John knew. He knew that he's coming as a Lamb of God. So the chief priests and the Pharisees, they deny John's power is from heaven. Dare to say it is only for men because they're afraid of the people. Similarly, they could not really deny Jesus has power and Jesus has authority. But they want Jesus to declare publicly, openly, that his power is from God, because they want to pin him to that so that they can has something against him, to capture him and to kill him for being a blasphemer. Despite the many miracles and power that Jesus has shown and the wonderful teachings that he has taught, these people refuse to believe that he is the Messiah, the Son of God. They saw in him only a poor Nazarene, a former carpenter. They did not want to believe in him. So seeing their unbelief and hypocrisy, Jesus proceeded to tell them three parables. These three parables, the audience was intended for these scribes and the Pharisee and the chief priests and the elders of the people. It was intended for them. And Jesus did not want to hide the meaning of these parables to them. He actually explained to them afterwards. Each parable addresses the Jewish leaders directly. These three parables are the parables of the two sons, the parables of the wicked vine dresser, and the parables of the wedding feast. So this morning we will look at just the first one, the parable of the two sons. Let's go to it. Verse 28 in chapter 21 of Matthew. "But what do you think? A man has two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward, he regretted and went. Then he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" Jesus asked. And they said to him, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believe him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him." There was quite a bit of toing and flowing in terms of questions between Jesus and the chief priests and the elders. But Jesus wanted them to listen to this parable and place themselves in this parable so that they will not be able to avoid giving Jesus an account for what they have heard. So straight away, Jesus begins with, "What do you think? What do you think?" The parable is very simple. A man who is the owner of the vineyard, he has two sons. So it's only three characters in this parable. He went to the first son and said, "Son, go and work in my vineyard." And the first son said, "No, I won't." Now, that's quite rude, okay? But he went to the second son and said, "Son, go and work in my vineyard." And the second son said, "Yes, I will do it." But that second son did not go, while the first son regretted and went to work in the father's vineyard. Now, let's unpack this parable so that we can understand better. Let's look at the first son. Now, Jesus said that they represented the tax collectors and the harlots. Basically, they represented all the sinners. Now, the request from the father for the first son to work in his vineyard and for both sons to work in his vineyard is very reasonable because the vineyard belonged to him. Eventually, the vineyard will be passed on to his two sons. So if you work in the vineyard, you're basically working on your own business, isn't it? Your own inheritance. So it's quite a reasonable request. But the first son rudely refused the father. Now, we know that the Ten Commandments specifically said, honor your father and your mother. So this is one of the commandments. So this son has broken that commandment. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 16 says that, "Cursed be anyone who dishonors his father or his mother." So disobedience and disrespect to parents is a great sin. And in the Old Testament, some of those very serious offenders will actually be dragged out into the public and stoned to death, like serve as a public example to all the others. So the first son showing his disrespect to his father by saying that I will not go. Since the first son represented the tax collectors and the harlots, they represent all the sinners. They represented you and I. But later on, this first son, he regretted or he changed his mind. And he went to work in his father's vineyard after all. It is a bit like, if they represented sinners, it's a bit like people who were once disobedient to God. And one day, they heard something that changed their whole perspective about what their life should be. And they regretted, they became aware of their sins, and they are willing to repent and change their ways and surrender themselves to God. These people will have the fruits of repentance. What is that fruit of repentance? That is, they have decided to obey God and do God's will. And Jesus said they will enter into the kingdom of God by that obedience. Now we look at the second son. This represented the chief priests and the elders of the people, basically the religious and the political leaders of the Jewish people. When this second son was asked by the father, he said, "Yes, I will do it." But afterwards, he did not do it. He was only paying a lip service to his father, but in his heart, he is disobedient to his father. The chief priests and the elders of the people, they claim to be the servants of God, but they only have the outward form of religious piety. Inwardly, they are full of unbelief, and towards the Lord Jesus, they are full of murderous thoughts. They refuse to believe in the messengers sent by God. They refuse to believe in John the Baptist or Jesus. Their heart is full of unbelief. And therefore, they have no fruits to offer to God because of their disobedience. Just like that fig tree that has no fruits to satisfy the Savior. So Jesus told the parables and then asked them, who did the will of his Father? Remember, Jesus started with, what do you think? So he placed them in that parable and then asked them to give a response. Who did the will of the Father? They answered correctly. The first one. And then Jesus, without hiding the truth from them, explained the parables to them. Assuredly, I say to you that the tax collectors and harlots shall enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believe him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him. You can imagine the chief priests and the elders when they heard this. They must be in shock and unbelief. They must be dumbfounded. And because they think that their moral standard is so much higher than the tax collectors and the harlots. Now, these are the two most despised group of sinners. A tax collector is someone who collects money on behalf of the Romans from the Jews. So to the Jewish people, they are like traitors to their own people. And the prostitutes surely has been looked down upon by all the men and all the women in the society. And yet the Lord Jesus said they are like the first son. They changed their mind. They regretted and they began to do the will of God. And they are the people who will enter into the kingdom of God before the second son. And then Jesus went on to tell them another parable. There's a parable of the wicked vine dresser. Jesus left them in no doubt what his intention was in telling these parables. But what we were told in Matthew 21, verse 45 to 46, after they heard those two parables, they said, now when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parable, they perceived that he was speaking of them. But when they sought to lay hand on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. They heard the parables. They knew that Jesus was judging them with that parables. Instead of regret, instead of repentance, they decided that they want to lay hand on him. They want to get rid of him. But they were not able to do so publicly or openly right at that moment because the people believe Jesus is a prophet. Now, some of you may think that, well, great, I know the parables now. I know the parable of the two sons, what it meant. The first son is like the sinners who repented. The second son is like the chief priests and the elders and the Pharisees. They did not repent, they did not do the will of the Father, so they are in trouble. We know all that now. Maybe we can wrap up and leave. But do you know that every time the word of God is preached, we have to be aware of one thing. We have to ask the question, what has this got to do with me? What has this got to do with me? So before we answer that question, I need to hold you for a few more minutes. Now, if we hold this parable up like a mirror and we look at it and see the reflection of ourselves from that mirror, which is the second parable, which is the first parable of that Jesus told to them, the parable of the two sons. Will we see the reflection of the first son, or will we see the reflection of the second son? I believe that we will find that there will be some reflection of the first son in us, but we also may see the reflection of the second son in us too. Like the first son who disobeyed the father, we were once sons of disobedience. We walk according to the ways of the world. We walk according to the lust of our flesh. Like all sinners, we have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What is awaiting for us is the wrath of God and the judgment after we die. So that is our lot. That is the lot for all the sinners in this world. But by God's mercy, one day we heard the gospel. What did the gospel say? The gospel say that we were all sins. We have all sinned and fall short of His glory. But God, in His mercy, sent His Son, Jesus, to come and die for us. And when we heard that, and when we saw the lives of the Christians around us, who live such a different life to us, they are seeking to please God. They love one another. They love God's word. And you saw in them something different. And you say, was their life changed because of what they have heard? Yes, their life changed not only because of what they have heard, but because they have believed in it. They have changed their mind about the way they should live. And they live now in a different way. A way that is pleasing to God, a way that is in obedience to God's word. And you desire that. So you change your mind about the way you want to live yourself, and you want to live like the other believers in obedience to the Heavenly Father. So you decide to say, Lord, I believe. And not only you say it with your mouth, but you actually show it in your life. The first son, after he regretted and changed his mind, he went to work in his father's vineyard as commanded by his father. So a true believer is someone who has changed his mind about the way he lived, and now he wants to live the way that pleased God, and he went and do it. He did not just say, oh, I believe, and then walk away, forgotten all about it. Maybe on Sunday, come to church for a couple of hours, and then live the rest of the week, just like any other people in the world. Has no desire to talk to God, has no desire or care for other believers or non-believers. They just live their own life just the same way before they say they believe. Now, if that's the case, then it's just like the second son, isn't it? Say, I believe, but yet have no desire to obey God. We must be really careful if we see that reflection of the second son in us when you look into that mirror of that parable of the two sons. Because like the chief priests and the Pharisees and the scribes, they did not want to obey God, despite all the evidence before them, despite all the knowledge they have gained when they were trained. Do you know what Jesus called them? hypocrites. Matthew chapter 15, verse 7 to 8. Hypocrites. And then Jesus quoted from Isaiah. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. This is the second son, paying lip service to his father. Say, I will, but he will not do it. There are so many people who say that they belong to God, but they're only saying it with their lips. And Jesus sees through them. And that's why Jesus said to them, hypocrites. Now, you'll be very, very angry if someone come up to you and say, hypocrites. Isn't it? Because you know what that word means. What is the word hypocrites means? It means saying one thing and then do another thing. Not real or fake. It's quite insulting to be called a hypocrite. But if the God of heaven and earth hold on to you and say, hypocrites, then I think you want to listen. And I want you to reflect on that. Are you truly a hypocrite? Someone who says things in your heart and do another things. Jesus has warned us before in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Brothers and sisters, these people are like the barren fig tree. They are cursed. They have no fruits. And at the end, when they met the Lord will say to them, go away from me. I do not know you. If this is what you saw in that reflection, as you look at that parable of the two sons, what should you do? You should do exactly as what that first son did, isn't it? You should change your mind. Come to God, say, Lord, I'm a hypocrite. I'm as guilty as the second son. I'm as guilty as the chief priests and the Pharisees and the scribes and the elders of the people. I'm powerless to change myself. But Lord, you can change me. Please change me, Lord, so that I may do your will. I may do things that pleases you, that I might truly live as your child, one who will glorify you. And one who others, when they look at me, they say, this person, this man or this woman, he is different. She is different. Because they have something that is different to all the people in the world. Because they have God in their heart. Is that what you want to see? Then you pray to God and ask God to help you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time that we can talk about your word. And we want to commit all the people in this room into your hands. Though some of us may saw the reflection of the first son and knew that our life has been changed because we have repented and we have come to you for salvation. But there are some of us who may saw the reflection of the second son, who say that they will serve you, but they did not. So, Lord, we pray that you have mercy upon all of us and help us, Lord, to truly be your own children in a truthful way and be able to do things that pleases you according to your will and to glorify you. So, Lord, help us. We pray in your most precious name. Amen.